You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to The Punt, a big week of football coming up with the FA Cup quarterfinals. We also have Premier League action as well. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Dave Kellner and on the line by Derek McGovern. How are you, chaps?
Very well, lads. Just wondering how our treble got on, and then I found out that there was only one winner, and guess who provided that one? As a clue, it wasn't added of you.
Derek, I was thinking, when I received your text the other day saying, oh, how have we done on that treble? I just thought, oh, well, I can guess how we've done, and I'm guessing it's not good, but it's good for one particular person on this podcast.
Update the table, please.
I need to do that, but I'm putting it off until I get a winner. So there won't be an update until the end of the season now.
Yeah, I must apologise for my nap, by the way. It was awful. It was a terrible nap in hindsight. I don't know why I went for that.
Well, what was it again?
It was Newcastle.
We both napped bad teams last week, myself and you, Mark, and that's got to be taken into consideration as we progress this week. Let's not nap bad teams this week.
No. the easiest thing should have been just Man City -2 against hapless Villa. It should have been an easy nap. But never mind. Anyway, plenty to look forward to this week. FA Cup quarterfinals, we'll start with those and then we'll move on to the Premier League action. We'll start with the Friday evening game, Reading against Crystal Palace. Reading 11-5, the draw 11-5 as well. Crystal Palace are 13-10. Reading to qualify 6-5 here, Palace 8-13. And many enhanced odds. We've got several of them. So rattling through these, Crystal Palace to win and three or more goals in the match. Was 3-1, now 7-2, but up to £20 on that one. Dennis Rackles to score in a Reading win is 6-1. Emmanuel Adebayor to score in a Palace win. Was 3-1, now 4-1. You can bet up to £20 on that one. And Conor Wickham to score in a Palace win is 4-1. So plenty of those if you want to get stuck into them. We'll start with you here, Derek. Reading already have a Premier League scalp to their name. They take on Crystal Palace, who yet to really bounce back. So are we going to see another mini shock here in the shape of Reading?
I honestly don't think it would be a shock. I've backed Reading. I think I mentioned on the podcast a couple of weeks ago at 16-1 to reach the final, and I still can't believe those odds. I think it's a fantastic bet given what's left in the competition. Very, very beatable sides. The most beatable of all is Crystal Palace, who everybody's beating at the moment, even with only 10 men. I read somewhere in the preview of this game that it was Palace's best performance of the season. Well, no wonder they're looking in deep trouble now, because they found themselves for half an hour outclassed by 10 men. And if they can't win a game like that 1-0 up against 10, against the Liverpool side, who didn't look fully committed to me, if they can't win that game, I don't see how they're going to beat Reading. Let's not forget, by the way, that Reading reached the semi-final last season and took Arsenal to extra time before going out. Let's not forget that they marmalised West Brom in the last round. And let's not forget that they're the most impressive side I've seen in the Championship this season. Seriously, I know they're only mid-table, but I've seen three or four of their games, and each time I've seen them, I thought, what a side. Then again, I've been saying that about Everton as well, and look where they are. I think 11-5 Reading is too big, and I'm really going to back it. You're in two minds when you back the team to reach the final. Do you go in again in the 90-minute game? But I am, because I'm that confident.
All right, strong bet on Reading. Then you tipped them in the last round, didn't you, to beat West Brom? So
yeah, you did easily. Yeah,
sticking with that. DK?
Derek's back Reading to reach the final, so obviously I'm hoping Palace win this tie tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, for your heartfelt good wishes.
Derek's right, though. How could you back Palace at 13-10, given their record recently, without a win in 12 in the Premier League? I think, Derek, we talked about when Lee was on this podcast. Remember him? He's still around. But he was saying that Palace had set their stall out now, and Alan Pardew was really going to make a concerted effort to win the FA Cup this season and forget about the Premier League. They have forgotten about the Premier League, there's no doubt about that, but it's difficult to turn the form on and off quickly. And I was very, very disappointed with that result at the weekend against Liverpool. And as Derek mentioned, if that's the best they can play, they're no good, because they were dominated against 10 men in the closing stages there. And I think Reading will win this game. The bet that I like best, though, is both teams to score in the match. Palace obviously have a defence that are conceding plenty of goals. They've conceded 24 in 13 matches in 2016 so far. But they've also scored in their last nine, Palace. So I expect them to get on the score sheet. I found it strange that Jordan Mutch was left out at the weekend against Liverpool. I thought he would start, But after he came on in the 70th minute, they conceded twice. So that's not a good omen for him starting this game. And Connor Wickham was missing. He's the only one that's been scoring for Palace recently. Not sure whether he'll be back in the starting lineup for this match. But there's definitely a feeling of unrest at Crystal Palace at the moment. And odds of 13-10 suggest that they are strong favourites to win at Reading this weekend. I wouldn't have them anywhere near that short against a Reading side who haven't been beaten at home this calendar year. So they're doing well at their own place, Reading. 11-5 is too big. But the bet that I like best is both teams to score in this match. So that will be my play. And yes, is available at 10-11.
All right, so a few ways in there. Both teams to score, leaning towards Reading on DK's part and very strong on Reading in Derek's opinion. Let's move on to the second of the quarterfinals. It's Everton against Chelsea. It's at 5:30 on Saturday. Everton 11-8, the draw 5-2, Chelsea are 9-5, Everton 6-5 to qualify, Chelsea 8-13, and the enhanced odds in this one. Romelu Lukaku to score in an Everton win in 90 minutes is 4-1, and Diego Costa to score in a Chelsea win in 90 minutes is also 4-1. We'll give you first crack at this one, DK. Chelsea out of the Champions League in midweek. This is the only chance of silverware they have. But they take on an Everton side who have the players, and they have the ability, and a cup run should be something they'll be looking to do. So can they pull it off against Chelsea?
They can, but it's the same old story with Everton, and they're a short price here at 11-8 to beat a Chelsea side that before that result against PSG were going great guns under Gus Hiddink. I know there were extenuating circumstances last weekend in that performance against West Ham. Kevin Morales got sent off and Romelu Lukaku missed a penalty, but there were still 2-0 up with 15 minutes left in that game at home at Goodison and lost the match 3-2. And it's up to Roberto Martinez at that point when they're 2-0 up and Lukaku misses the penalty to organise his team and make sure they don't switch off. And they did. And they're 12th in the league. They've still only won 4 of 15 at Goodison in the league this season. Eden Hazard was criticised for swapping shirts with Angel Di Maria
at
half time. What he was criticised, though, that he swapped shirts.
No, that he's swapping shirts at half time. His head's clearly not.
Oh, he's not been concentrating all season, has he, Eden Hazard? Or he's not been fully focused on the task at hand. But then he picked up the injury, and Diego Costa got injured as well.
Did he pick up an injury? That's my question. I think he had no bottle and he wanted to come off.
I think there's probably a case to be made for that.
Is Harry Kewell in the Istanbul final? That's what he is. He came off injured in inverted commas because he has no bottle.
Well, Hazard this season has been shambolic, hasn't he, really, in his commitment to the cause. There's little doubt about that. So whether or not he features in this game, open to debate. We won't find out until Saturday evening. But Everton are just too short, in my opinion. They have reached this stage for the fourth time in the past five seasons, progressed in 2012, but went out against Wigan at this stage in 2013 and against Arsenal in 2014 as well. Just can't trust Everton to win this game. The one thing I think we're absolutely guaranteed in this match is goals. Both players, both sets of players, very attacking minded. Gary Cahill, we saw again midweek, an absolute liability as a central defender. They're without John Terry and Kurt Zouma as well, so they're going to have a makeshift back four. Everton, certainly, if anything, ill-disciplined. So Chelsea will get on the score sheet here. Both teams to score in over 2.5 goals. Put that up in the Everton game last weekend. It landed against West Ham, obviously, 19-20. Over 3.5 goals, 2-1. A game guaranteed to be entertaining, but predicting the winner is nigh impossible, in my opinion. And Everton too short, 11-8.
Right. Can you pick a winner, Derek?
Well, I looked at the game and I fancied Everton because you know what my feelings are. But 11-8, I can't believe how short that is, considering their record at Goodison. I mean, it wasn't that long ago they went to Stamford Bridge and they were 4 or 5-1, I remember, because I backed them. And then John Terry scored that late 95th minute equaliser, which was about a mile offside. You know, and Everton are better away from home and you were getting 4 or 5-1. There, and now you're only getting 11-8. I can't touch them because of that. They're just too short. You look how many games they've won in the league this season. You know, I think it's not even hard. Well, four games out of 15 they've won at home. They've lost 7 out of 15 at home. I mean, that's a terrible record. They put, you know, just to, I can't touch them. I'm not sure, though, about Chelsea. They look to be building up ahead of steam, albeit by not by winning too many games, more by not losing them.
Yeah.
But that performance in midweek was... I thought it was a bit tepid. It really did. They're probably their biggest game of the season. And it just never got going. It looks like Costa might not be fit for this game. It looks like Hazard might not be fit. I share Dave's opinion. It's a hard one to call. On value grounds, I suppose I'd go for Chelsea. But I think that Dave's right about the goals. Every time these two meet recently, there's been a bag full. And I can see it again because now the defence looks impregnable. And, you know, Martin, as we know, he doesn't care how many they ship as long as they try and score. You know, if you score four, we'll score three, seems to be his idea. I'm going to go for both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. It's actually even money. I think you said 19 to 20, David.
Has it gone even money now?
Even money now, yeah. I like the look of that one.
I do as well. We talked about Martinez on the podcast maybe about 6 weeks ago, Derek, a month or 6 weeks ago, and you were quite defensive when I said the man's clueless. Are you coming around to my way of thinking now?
After the weekend, yeah. I mean, you, I, or Stevie Wonder could have seen what needed to be done again on Saturday when you were 2-0 up, 10 men, just missed a pen against West Ham. The game was there to be seen out. I mean, Liverpool came out from 1-0 down with 10 men. Everton couldn't contain a 2-0 lead because of the changes he made. He doesn't do defence, basically, which is great if you're a fan, but not great if you're a fan expecting silverware.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the third of the FA Cup quarterfinals, and Arsenal take on Watford. Arsenal 6-10, the draw 3-1. Watford are 9-2. This game is on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Arsenal are 2-9 to qualify. Watford 3-1, and Danny Welbeck to score in an Arsenal win is 5-2. That's in 90 minutes, by the way. And Odion Ighalo to score in a Watford win in 90 minutes is 10-1. Derek, you can have first go at this. Arsenal. It's after a few weeks of maybe thinking they could win the title, they're now probably only going to win the FA Cup if they get that far. So are they going to be taking this more seriously than we probably would have expected a few weeks ago?
Well, it's a difficult one to look at, isn't it? Because you think, if I was managing them, yes, you would be, without question. Because they've got the Champions League coming up on Wednesday or Tuesday. Wednesday, I think, is a Barcelona, which they look as though they're already out. But you can never tell with Wenger. He's such a loon that he might rest players for this game and try and turn it round against Barcelona on Wednesday. I know it sounds daft, that, but I wouldn't put it past him. I can't believe Watford are 3-1 to qualify, by the way. I really can't. This is a decent Premier League side. 3-1 to qualify against Arsenal. Too big, that. I can't go for Arsenal here, 6-10. I don't think they're a good side, you know. I really don't. I'm not getting carried away by the way they polished off Hull in midweek, because it was a whole side that, you know, you could argue that Hull have got bigger fish to fry in a Championship than in the FA Cup. I wasn't impressed with either side, to be honest. And any time I see Arsenal, I keep thinking, well, what's all the fuss about? I just don't see anything there. I really don't. And I know that Watford aren't scoring many goals. That's a problem. But I read an interesting stat in the build-up to this game. Watford's last 9 games have been drawn at half-time, mostly 0-0. That's quite an incredible stat, that, isn't it? So I think what I'm going to do, the only thing I can go for here, Watford aren't scoring enough goals. I can't back Arsenal at those kind of odds-on prices. I'm going to go for the draw at half-time, which I think is around about 10 to 11. It just looks nailed on for me, that one.
All right, drawing at half-time. Dave, do you have an opinion here?
Yeah, I think Arsenal are too short at 6-10 to win this game. It's all right, Arsenal rolling over Hull 4-0 at the Emirates, but the fans expect more, they want more, and they deserve more as well from Arsenal Football Club. They have won 15 consecutive rounds of the FA Cup now, and they hold the record for consecutive rounds won in the FA Cup, which was 16 back in 2002 to 2004, but the problem that Arsenal and in particular Arsene Wenger have is that they're standing still in the competitions the club actually wants to win, or the fans want them to win. They were good against Hull, but that was Hull City, and Hull set up with three at the back there against Olivier Giroud, just one striker, and got absolutely overrun in the midfield. And you saw the show ponies turn up for that match. Theo Walcott and Giroud both had outstanding games, but Watford are a different kettle of fish here. They've got the team to frustrate Arsenal, just like Swansea did at the Emirates a couple of weeks ago. And we all know that Arsenal are weak psychologically. I think what Watford will do here is they'll sit and try and absorb the pressure that Arsenal throw at them and make sure the play is in front of that back four. The problem you've got if you want to support Watford here at 9-2 is They've stopped scoring. Odion Ighalo has looked threatening, but he's now gone 7 without a goal. He's 12-5 to score in this match. The way Hull set up at the Emirates didn't work, but Watford will do things differently. I actually do fancy the shock here. I think Watford are overpriced at 9-2. Ighalo is going to get back on the score sheet at some point because he does continue to look threatening, keeps having shots on goal, shots on target as well. I'm going to put up a few bets here at big prices. I like Odion Ighalo to score at 12-5. I fancy Watford to win this game 1-0 at 14-1. I think they will soak up the pressure, hit Arsenal, and Arsenal won't have the quality to break this Watford side down. So Watford 1-0 at 14-1. And at a massive price, Odion Ighalo to score first and Watford to win the game 1-0. 45-1, that is. So Watford bets for me here. Arsenal too short at 6-10.
It's interesting what you mentioned there about the goals drying up for Watford. Just looking at their matches on the road, by the way, in their last 5 away games, they've scored 2 goals and they both came against Palace. The rest of the games, they haven't scored. So yeah. I wonder if it'd be worth just chancing something like Watford under on their goals, under one, under 0.5 goals is 11-8, just for them not to score, basically. I'm not sure they...
If they don't score, I could see the 0-0 draw being a runner here at 11-1. That's a massive price.
That is a big price. That is it should not be 0-0 should not be that price when Watford are playing. Definitely no.
Because they do set up... He will set up so defensively in this match, and Arsenal will have 65-70% of the possession, but they'll struggle to break Watford down. We've seen that throughout the season with Watford. Teams have difficulty breaking them down. I think on the road they're a good proposition, Watford.
That's a crazy price, that 11-1.
It's very big, isn't it? That?
Yeah.
I think the expectation is that Arsenal are going to dominate Watford from the outset here. If they don't get an early goal, though, their fans will be frustrated quickly, and that will put extra pressure on these Arsenal players.
Under 1.5 match goals, by the way, is 3-1.
That is very big.
Yeah.
All right, then on to the other quarterfinal. Then Manchester United take on West Ham. Man United are 10-11. The draw is 5-2. West Ham are 3-1. Man United to qualify 4-9. West Ham 13-8. Anthony Martial to score and Man United to win is 3-1 in the enhanced odds. And Payet to do the same in a West Ham win is 10-1. They're both of those markets in 90 minutes. We'll start with you, Derek, because you gasped when I said Man United 10-11.
10-11. Oh,
you can't back
God.
Up at that price.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, well, the bad news for West Ham is they're playing at Man United, who've only got this to play for now, the FA Cup to play for. The good news for West Ham is that they're playing Man United. I mean, how abysmal was that performance in midweek? It was dreadful. And everything the BT pundits said, BT Sport pundits said on there, Wednesday, Scholes and Ferdinand, was spot on. It was truly abysmal. And Liverpool didn't really have to do that much to beat them 2-0. Could have been 4 or 5-0. And yet Man United are 10-11 to beat West Ham, who were dangerous on the road, who were beating miles better teams than Man United, and you know, who look as though, well, we know already the teams they fielded in the FA Cup, how seriously they're treating this competition. 3-1 West Ham is an absolute gift, and I think at the end, we'll have a punch-up at the end to nap this, all three of us, because it's only going to be one result this game, and it won't be a Man United win, it'll be a West Ham win.
Yeah,
it's impossible to bat Manchester United at 10-11 odds on to win this game. I suppose a lot of people might not go any... Oh, it's difficult for the compilers to go any bigger Manchester United at home than 10-11. But this West Ham side, I think, Derek, they're better in all areas. Just looking through the actual personnel at their disposal, particularly from an attacking standpoint, you look at what Slaven Bilic has got to work with at the moment. Ener Valencia and Victor Moses expected to be back for the weekend. They've got that front three with either Valencia, Emmanuel Emenike, Mikel Antonio, Diafusaco, who came back and scored, Dimitri Payet, Manuel Lanzini. They have got so many options at their disposal, West Ham, at the moment, whereas Manchester United are relying on an 18-year-old who hasn't been cited for most of the year to lead their line in this match, in Marcus Rashford, who admittedly started well against Midtjylland, but it was never going to continue, because if he was this prodigy, he'd have been introduced earlier on. So he's obviously not. And they've got so many problems defensively, Manchester United as well. probably going to be Chris Smalling and Daley Blind. But if they can work a position, West Ham, where they get either Sacco, whoever plays up front, Sacco or Emenike or Mikel Antonio, to pull on to Daley Blind, they've got a significant aerial advantage in this match. And as Derek mentioned, that performance against Liverpool was woeful. The quote that I like best from Paul Scholes was when he said, "It's upsetting to see this United side. We don't want to finish fourth in the league and have a chance in the cup because we don't want to be Arsenal."
Yeah.
Arsenal do that, and it's true. Yeah. Arsenal do that every single season. Manchester United expect to be competitive in the Premier League and in Europe as well. The playing devil's advocate, the one negative is that West Ham are winless in their last nine trips to Old Trafford in all competitions. That was since Carlos Tevez scored that strike that kept them in the Premier League way back when, back in 2006-2007. But this is a completely different West Ham side, different Manchester United side. West Ham much too big at 3-1 in this game. And that man again, I mentioned him a few times on the podcast, Mikel Antonio. He's scored in his last three for the Hammers. Got a great record at home, but scored on the road in his last game away at Everton. He's 4-1 to score any time in this match, Antonio, which looks too big. But West Ham to win, got to be the bet. Keep it simple here, 3-1.
I know. And just one last thing. And you know, I'm just looking down their list here on the goal scorer markets. And you know what? I didn't quite realise how bad it is for them.
It's terrible, isn't it?
I mean, there's not a single player there. None of those players would have even got to get a place on the bench in a 20. Wouldn't have got a place in the squad, the 23-man squad, 5 years ago at Old Trafford. Not one single, apart from the goalie. Which outfield player for United, who's going to, Rooney obviously, but he's injured, who are eligible for Saturday, would have got a game. It would have got a place in the squad, not just a game or on the subs bench, in the 23-man squad. Not one single player amongst them would have got a game.
Answer me this, Derek, as well. Which one of those players on that goal scorer list now would get in this West Ham side?
You're right. None of them would. None of them would.
Maybe Anthony Martial at a push.
No.
But Rashford, Lingard, Depay, Januzaj, Fellaini. Those are five of the top six in the goalscorer markets here with William Hill for that game on Sunday afternoon. Those guys, with the guys that I've just read out that play for West Ham at the moment, they wouldn't get in this West Ham side.
No.
And Manchester United have odds on to win this game.
It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy.
We also saw an example of Van Gaal tactics 101 on Thursday evening as well, because you've got a young kid in Rashford who's only played a few games. He's played down the middle and done reasonably well. To an extent,
yeah.
He sticks him on the right wing. He gets completely lost and gets taken off at half time.
He's looking lost playing up front now as well, because they're tending to thump the ball long at the moment. The ball's going over his head. He's looking to see where it's gone, and he might be the future for Manchester United. Who knows? But right now they need some experience in that lineup, and they've not got it. West Ham, I think, will win this match 3-1.
Yeah, and if you want to play it safe as well, West Ham plus a goal on the handicap 4-5. Seen worse 4-5 shots than that.
Oh, definitely.
On to the Premier League action next. Then we'll start with the televised game on Saturday lunchtime, 12:45. Norwich take on Man City. Norwich 5-1 the draw, 13-5. Man City are 8-13. You can have first go at this one, Dave. What do you make of it? Norwich struggling, aren't they? They're in the relegation zone. Man City clinging on to the fourth place in the Premier League.
Yeah,
surely they've got to be winning this, haven't they?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? I know it does look short on the face of it, 8-13 Man City to win this game, but I couldn't be back in Norwich at 5-1. Man City unbeaten in their last five trips to Carrow Road in all competitions as well. They've won four of those and drawn one. And remember, they've already won at Carrow Road this season in the third round of the FA Cup, beat them comprehensively 3-0. There have been goals in recent meetings between the two sides as well. 40 goals in the last eight Premier League matches between Norwich and Manchester City. There will be goals in this game because Norwich City cannot defend. I'll go to that man, the little man, Sergio Aguero here for my bet. He is 4-5 to score any time. The only reservation is, and the caveat here is, you've got to wait for team news in this match because Manchester City have that away trip against Dynamo Kiev coming up midweek. That will definitely be on their mind. 1-3-1 in the first leg, but the job not quite done yet. So I'll be backing whoever starts up front for Manchester City in this game, really, to score, because Aguero's 4-5 to score any time, which is a good bet if he starts in this match, because he's got five in five Premier League appearances against Norwich, and he's scored 15 goals in his last 14 Premier League appearances for Man City. So he's on fire at the moment. If he starts, two or more is available 18-5. Anytime 4-5. If it's Kelechi Iheanacho up front, he's 7-5 to score anytime, which is a good bet as well. The only way you can put a pro Norwich bet up here is if you believe that Man City's minds will be fully focused on the game midweek against Dynamo Kiev. I can't see it. I think this Norwich team are doomed, dead, done and dusted. So 5-1, not big enough for me. Just back any strike. The guy that starts up front in that number 9 role for Man City to score any time, be it Aguero or Iheanacho.
I think they will start with Aguero because the fact that they're 3-1 up with three away goals would suggest they don't need to keep full attention on the Champions League, do they?
Yeah, yeah, they don't. So if Aguero starts, I think two or more is a belting bet, 18-5. Went close to scoring a hat-trick last weekend, missed from the penalty spot. Got a great record against Norwich, great recent record in the Premier League, so him to score.
It's like Lee Phelps is back. Derek, what do you make of the game?
Well, you mentioned that City are a bit short at 8-13, and I suppose if you look at their away form in the league this season, you'd have to say, they are short. But you look further down the list of Premier League games this weekend, and Tottenham are away at Aston Villa, and Tottenham are 1-2. You know, makes Man City 8-13 a decent bet, I'd suggest. I'm not getting sidetracked by Europe at all, Dave, because, you know, what Mark said is right. They won 3-1 in Kiev, and they look miles better than the Ukrainian side, and they've got the home leg to come. That's done and dusted, that one. And, you know, I still think Pellegrini will think he's got a half a chance of winning the league, because I know they're 10 points off, but they've got a game in hand over Leicester. You know, if they win this game, you know, they're 7 points behind with a game in hand. Leicester could still wobble. It's still winnable. It's still winnable for City. So I think they're going to be, you know, concentrating fully on this game. I noticed that Norwich's last four or five games have featured over 2.5 goals. I would suggest this will be another of them. It's only 8-11, but over 3.5 is more my liking, and I think I'll go for that. I think City will win this well, but I do think Norwich will get on the score sheet as well, because that's the way they play.
Yeah, I think if it is a very strong City lineup, I'll be looking at City minus 2 here at 15-4 to win this game.
Yeah, it's almost 4-1 now. I mean, they won 3-0 there in the FA Cup as well, and they just battered, you know, who was it, Villa last week? Yeah, I can see that.
You could easily see 4-1 or 5-1 here, even if you expect Norwich to get on the score sheet. So, if it is a strong City lineup, my mind will be made up here, and I'll be going City on the handicaps. I've just got that slight reservation he might tinker with things a little bit.
Mm. Thinking similarly along those lines, though, if they start a strong side and they've got the midweek game coming up, you think they probably want to get it done early on. So Man City to win first half and second half on the double result.
Yeah.
11-8.
Yeah, that's fine as well. And I agree with Derek. I think we see goals in the game.
Yeah. On to the last of the televised games this week, then. It's on Monday evening as Leicester City take on Newcastle. Leicester 8-13, the draw 13-5. Newcastle are 5-1. Enhanced odds here: Riyad Mahrez to score in a Leicester win 3-1, and Ayoze to score in a Newcastle win is 12-1. And breaking news as we record this: Newcastle have sacked Steve McLaren.
Ah. Probably about 6 months too late.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think they made the big mistake when they appointed him.
Yeah, well, they should have appointed the Brolly. Oh, he's been a joke, hasn't he? He's been a joke at a lot. You know, his previous four clubs all ended in failure. How he got the gig in the first place makes you wonder. Apparently, you know, McLaren, everybody said he's a good coach and that, but it takes more, doesn't it, to manage a club than being a good coach. To be honest, I've never seen any evidence that he is a good coach. I just take it as, you know, take what people say. But he's been useless, and absolutely useless, and he's not the man you want to motivate your troops. So, you know, Newcastle's hopes of avoiding the drop have only increased. Even if they put Peter Beardsley or some rookie in charge, they will only increase, because the guy was a clown.
Does that change your thinking, Derek,
about this game?
Yeah.
Well, it's got to factor in it. I mean, you know, the 5-1 now, Newcastle, they might well, if they're going to change, if your odds compilers are going to change the odds, they're not going to push them out, are they, with McLaren gone? They're only going to go shorter. So if you fancy a bet on Newcastle, get in quick. But how can you? How can you? You know, they could appoint Dynamo the magician, and they're not going to get anything from this game, I don't see. 8-13 Leicester. Again, it's an insult to Leicester.
Yeah,
they're league leaders, and they're the same price to beat a ranked bad Newcastle at home as Man City are to beat an equally ranked bad Norwich away from home. You've just got to go for Leicester because they're not showing any signs of stopping. That was a tricky game for them against Watford last week. And they won it like a league title-winning side should. No frills, no airs or graces. Just get the points and get off home. I like the look of them last week, more so than when they were at their, you know, the Cavalier best earlier on before Christmas. And I just can't see how Newcastle can get anything from this game. You know what I might do? I think if Leicester get their noses in front, they could well go on a cakewalk here, because that's how bad Newcastle are right now. They might raise a gallop now that their new manager's coming in, probably Rafa Benitez by the sounds of things, but I just can't see it. And Leicester minus two goals, almost 4-1. I've got to go for that.
Strong on Leicester then. You concur, Dave?
Yeah, I do. I think Leicester are a good price at 8-13, and I agree with Derek. I think it is insulting that they're as big as they are to beat a Newcastle side who have not only been dismal all season, away from home they've been absolutely appalling. They've lost 17 of their last 21 Premier League away matches, and they've failed to score in 12 of their Premier League games this season as well, which is a joint high alongside Watford and Aston Villa. They've scored just 8 goals in their last 20 away from home. They've failed to score in 13 of those 20. Leicester to win to nil is 8-5 here, which I think is an outstanding bet. As Derek mentioned, they've become a different side in the second half of the season. We saw them, Derek mentioned the word Cavalier, and that's the way they played early on with Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy. And every aspect, they were firing in every aspect earlier on. Since then, they've become more stout defensively and changed their style of play. They're happy to win games 1 and 2-0 against West Brom. They drew 2-2, but that game against Norwich, won that game 1-0. And I think they'll win this one 1 or 2-0 as well against Newcastle, because Newcastle are so bad. If it is Rafa Benitez that comes in, Derek, that's a bit of a coup for Newcastle, I think, getting him.
Oh, not off. I worship Rafa. I think he's absolutely sensational. What he did with Liverpool. You know what? In 5 seasons at Liverpool with a ranked bad squad, he got to 2 Champions League finals. Wenger has been at Arsenal 20 seasons and has reached 1, and they've had a better squad than Liverpool in all that time. You know,
yeah.
How can you knock that record? But whether he's equipped to fight the relegation battle, that's another matter. As I say, the squad that he's inheriting, it looks okay on paper, but once they step on that pitch, they're absolutely useless, just no fight.
I think they've dragged the heels a bit as well, Newcastle. I mean, he should have just been sacked straight after the last game at Newcastle. They've not given Rafa Benitez much time to, yeah. If he does come straight in now, there's not much time between, well, we're calling this Friday afternoon, to Monday evening, yeah, for him to, yeah, implement anything for this particular match. So I think they'll lose this match. I think 8-13, Leicester's a good bet. Leicester, I mean, have lost just 1 of their last 17 Premier League games at the King Power, only lost 3 games all season. Is there a realistic expectation that whoever comes in can work their magic in 2 days to get Newcastle, who are second from bottom in the Premier League, to win at league leaders Leicester? 8-13 is a good price. Leicester to win to nil is a good price as well at 8-5. So those are the 2 bets that I'll be having.
Can I just throw in one aside here? I noticed some betting. It wasn't with Hills, but I did notice some betting around for PFA Player of the Year. And unsurprisingly, the 2 Leicester stars are first and second favourites. Now, in which order would you put them?
I think Mahrez has been the better of the 2 players this season.
I'm leaning towards Mahrez now as well.
Oh, well, you know what? Vardy is favourite, and I thought it was the best of all time.
Did
just
you?
Around the even money mark, but you've tempered my enthusiasm now. I might have to change my mind.
The thing that would be in Vardy's favour is the fact they broke the record earlier in the season.
That is a big factor as well, I think.
Yeah.
I've not thought too deeply about it, but I think Mahrez has been the better of the 2 players in the latter part of the season. Vardy's form's just tailed off a bit, Derek, if they think about, I mean, if there's any sort of recency bias there, and whoever makes the decision is thinking, oh, well, he's not done anything. What have you done for me lately? That sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe so. Okay, I won't have that bet then. Thanks, lads.
Mahrez, by the way, is the subject of the enhanced odds here. 3-1 for him to score in a Leicester win. I think that looks very attractive.
Yeah.
Let's look at the non-televised games then to finish with. We'll start with Saturday's 3 p.m. kickoff as Bournemouth take on Swansea. Bournemouth even money, the draw 11-5. Swansea are 3-1. Who wants first crack at this one?
Well, it's a tough one to call this, but this is one of those games that come along and you think, well, I'm not going to have a bet on this, and then you see the prices and you think, well, I'll have to, because I'm no big fan of Swansea. I think they're a so-so team, nicely. But 3-1 is too big against Bournemouth, who everybody was tipping to go down. They ain't going to go down. They've done exceptionally well in their first season. But they're not great enough to be evens at home to Swansea, I don't think, an established Premier League side now. And it might well be that Bournemouth think, right, we've done all the hard work. Great result for them against Newcastle last week, but it was only Newcastle. They might well think we've done all the hard work now. Swansea could think the same, by the way, but you're getting 3-1 for Swansea. You're only getting evens for Bournemouth. I just think Swansea are too big here at 3-1.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Dave?
I thought Derek would go for Swansea here at these sort of prices. I'm just not sure about this result. Both teams have had surprising results lately, with Bournemouth dragging themselves away from the relegation zone with a point at Watford, followed by wins against Southampton and Newcastle. Swansea, of course, pulled themselves clear with that win at the Emirates End last weekend against Norwich. I'll go back to the well with the man that I mentioned last week, and he scored. Gylfi Sigurdsson for Swansea to score in this game. He's got 8 Premier League goals this season. That's his best return ever in a Premier League campaign. And he scored 6 in his last 10 for Swansea, in his last 10 Premier League appearances. So I'm not sure about the result, but if Sigurdsson starts this game, 100-30 for him to score away at Bournemouth, I think is a good price. I do rate Bournemouth more highly than I rate Swansea. They're a couple of points ahead of them in the league, and I think they are a better team. So I'm not going to get sucked into what looks quite an attractive price on Swansea at 3-1. I like Sigurdsson at a shade bigger, 100-30 to score.
All right. Anything else to add? Should we move on?
No, let's move on.
Yeah. Stoke City take on Southampton in another of the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday afternoon. Stoke are 17-10. The draw 21-10. Southampton also 17-10. So our traders can't split them in the betting. Dave, can you split them?
I think this is the one game where I think the prices are wrong. I think Stoke should be clear favourites here, 5-4, 11-8, something like that. I think they're too big at 17-10. I'm not sure there's much between these two sides in terms of ability. Certainly not in terms of the league table. If anything, Stoke are the better of the two sides. They picked up 10 points from a possible 12 in their last 4 matches. Big signings shining for Stoke as well at the moment, with Jerdan Shaqiri and Marko Arnautovic both contributing, and Gianelli Imbula looks like a fantastic signing for Stoke City. And Southampton, they've been beaten at Bournemouth and Norwich in this calendar year. They've only won 2 of their last 8 Premier League away matches, only scoring 6 goals in their last 10 away games as well. Stoke went to St Mary's, won 1-0 back in November, so they've already shown they can combat this football side. Stoke are too big here, 17-10. I like Stoke to win and under 2.5 goals as well. I think it will be pretty tight and cagey this game. 100-30, Stoke to win and under 2.5. But Stoke, the bet here, 17-10.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why are Southampton showing faps here, showing favourites? I don't understand it.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
As you mentioned, most of the season, they've been underpriced, Southampton.
And, yeah.
But particularly this week, I think they are criminally underpriced to steal your phrase.
Well, they're below Stoke in the table for a kickoff. They're without probably their best defender, Fonte, he's suspended after getting sent off. They're in a terrible run of form right now, and I'm meeting the Stoke side who are on the upswing. It honestly doesn't make sense to me. But you're right about an absence of goals. I can't see it being a last match of the day defo with this one, I think. I'll go for Stoke. They are overpriced there at 17-10. They should be clear favourites.
Definitely.
Unanimous decision on Stoke then in that one. And we finish off with Aston Villa against Tottenham Hotspur. Aston Villa 6-1, the draw 3-1. Tottenham are 1-2. Aston Villa still rock bottom of the Premier League, conceding goals for fun. They take on Tottenham, who likely going to go out of the Europa League after getting thrashed by Borussia Dortmund in midweek. They can concentrate on the Premier League. Is this a game to be all aboard the handicaps here, Derek?
Well, it is. I mean, you know, we were wondering when was Pochettino going to start resting, rotating his squad and playing on the strength side and cup competition and so on. It happened on Thursday. All of a sudden, he's woken up thinking, well, this league really is there for the taking, this Premier League. So he made a few changes on Thursday. It wasn't a weak team. There was still, you know, first team regulars playing. There was no real excuse for going down 3-0 so tamely. But all the big guns will be back for this game. And how can they not win this game? I'm just struggling to see how they can't win it convincingly. They won't even be bothered about next Thursday's return against Dortmund. That ship has sailed now. What is there in Villa's recent form to suggest they're going to get anything against Spurs. Nothing at all. For those who are not interested in backing a team like Tottenham at 1-2 away from home, yeah, the only play is the handicaps. And Tottenham minus two goals is 7-2. I don't see why that won't come in. I really don't. I mean, you're asking for a three-goal victory for Spurs away from home. Normally, that would be too much to ask, but not when Villa are the team at home. No, no way. I'm going to go for that.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't want to be that bold, Tottenham minus one is 13-10.
Yeah.
It's got to be safe enough, hasn't it? Safe as houses, I'd say. But what do you make of it, Dave?
Yeah, I agree with you too, to a large extent. You just can't back Aston Villa. 16 points this season after 29 games, which is the third lowest at this stage of a Premier League campaign. And he did show his hand, definitely, on Thursday night, Pochettino. And Derek said it was still a strong side. They were missing numerous starters, started without Moussa Dembele, Eric Lamella, Harry Kane, and they went with Kieran Trippier and Ben Davis as fullbacks, when we all know that if Danny Rose and Kyle Walker are fit, they are the two premium wingbacks to a certain extent. Eric Dier was injured for that game as well, so he missed out. He should be back for this trip to Villa Park at the weekend. Dele Alli didn't play in that game either. Whether or not he's back is open to debate. We're not sure yet. But I think there's a real bet in this match. Harry Kane is 21-20 to score any time in this game. He should be odds on, definitely. I mean, we talked about Sergio Aguero earlier. He was 4-5 to score, and Tottenham are a shorter price here than Manchester City are. But Harry Kane's 21-20, it makes no sense. He's got 16 in his last 20 Premier League appearances for Spurs. That's two more than Aston Villa have scored in those 20 Premier League games. They are going through a little bit of a lull at the moment, Spurs, but I think Pochettino clearly fully intent on making sure they play to the final Premier League whistle this season. Harry Kane, 21-20, is absolutely outstanding. Odds against for him to score two or more is 5-1 in this game. For a team in Aston Villa that ship goals for fun, I think 5-1, two or more, is fantastic. And any time, 21-20.
I wonder what you were saying there, Dave.
Yes, I know.
I just didn't quite pronounce that P like I would have liked. I think you get the picture.
Superb. Let's finish off with the best bets then. As Derek kind of alluded to earlier on, I think we might be fighting over one of them. So yeah. I'll be generous, Derek. You can have first crack at it.
All right. Well, guess what it'll be. West Ham 3-1 to win at Man United.
There you go. David?
There's a few I like on those last two games we mentioned. You know what? I'm going to sling Stoke in there for me at 17-10 to beat Southampton. It's between that and Harry Kane to score any time. So I know which one will land now because this happened last week. I'll go with Stoke, though, to beat Southampton. Bigger price at 17-10. So that's my bet, Stoke.
All right, I was toying with a few. Tottenham minus one was one of them. I was thinking Leicester, similar kind of market. I was also considering going unders on the Arsenal Watford game, but I'm gonna play, I think, relatively safe. I'll go Spurs minus a goal. I think they'll win comfortably.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
I like the look of that treble.
I think this is a good treble this week. Yeah,
got the winner written all over it. That one.
Yeah, so that pays 23.84 to 1.
I like that. You know, that's a big. That's over 20 to 1. That treble.
Yeah, that looks good.
I like
it?
That. Yeah. Happy with that this week. Yeah. I even like yours this week, Mark.
Thanks, Dave. 66% strike rate. I'll have you know. Thanks, guys. Anyway, good luck and enjoy it this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.